ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 5 is called The Creative Impetus. Chapter 5, Lord Rishabhdev's Teachings. Text number 33, again it's prose, so I'll just read. Tasya hayak purisha surabhi saugandhya vayus tangdesham dashayo janam samantat saurabhin chakaram. Word for word translations. Tasya, his, ha, indeed, yaha, which, purisha, of the stool, surabhi, by the aroma, saugandhya, possessing a good fragrance, vayuhu, the air, tam, that, desham, country, dasha, up to 10, yojanam, yojanas, one yojana equals 8 miles, samantat, all around, surabhim, aromatic, chakara, made. Translation, because Lord Rishabhdev remained in that condition, meaning rolling around in his stool and urine, the public did not disturb him, but no bad aroma emanated from his stool and urine. Quite the contrary, his stool and urine were so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside with a pleasant fragrance. Please repeat. Because Lord Rishabhdev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him, but no bad aroma emanated from his stool and urine. Quite the contrary. His stool and urine were so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside with a pleasant fragrance. Srila Prabhupada's purport. And Prabhupada, in the purport, he just stays in the same mood as the verse. Purport. From this verse, we can certainly assume that Lord Rishabhdev was transcendentally blissful. His stool and urine were so completely different from material stool and urine that they were aromatic. Even in the material world, cow dung is accepted as purified and antiseptic. A person can keep stacks of cow dung in one place, and it will not create a bad odor to disturb anyone. We can take it for granted that in the spiritual world, stool and urine are also pleasantly scented. Indeed, the entire atmosphere became very pleasant due to Lord Rishabhdev's stool and urine. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, this is a real... Maybe we can close the... There you go. Oh, they want to hear? Is it? Okay. Oh, there's no... There is a speaker. Okay, why don't you close it? Thanks. This is a follow-up to Rasamandala Prabhu's class when it was introduced, what Lord Rishabhdev was doing. And Rasamandala mentioned avadhūt and how we use the term rather loosely in ISKCON to refer to anybody who might be somewhat eccentric. Oh, he's an avadhūt, you know. So what is an avadhūt? Avadhūt is somebody who, yeah, behaves unusually, but he's beyond the modes of material nature. Whereas very often the way we use it, somebody may be beneath the modes of material nature. So this is real avadhūt. In America, sometimes when we want to criticize somebody, or maybe we're just mock criticizing, we say, well, your S and U don't smell like ice cream. So, but Lord Rishabhdev, his stool and urine was making everything fragrant for, what is it, 80 miles? It's how long is it to Brussels? About 80 miles, or no, 60, more than, okay. So that's called potent, Lord Rishabhdev. So Srila Prabhupada, he just, this is a great example. And the purport, the last line of the purport is, or the second to last line, he says, we can take it for granted that in the spiritual world, stool and urine are also pleasantly scented. So this is classic His Divine Grace. This is Prabhupada at one and the same time is so down to earth, you know, right down to earth, and totally out of this world. He says and does things that are completely, you know, beyond the modes and, you know, beyond sometimes even social considerations. But that's the nature of our founder, Acharya. Another comment here. Prabhupada says, the entire universe became very pleasant due to Lord Rishabhdev's stool and urine. Okay, so we just, I just made that comment. It's, an avadhūt can do these things. What is that verse? Rasamandala Prabhu mentioned Anukaran and Anusharan. Anukaran is imitating, and Anusharan is following. Is that, does everybody know the veterinarian's apprentice story that Prabhupada would sometimes tell? The veterinarian's apprentice. Oh, this is, Prabhupada would tell this story to show the difference between following and imitating. So there was a veterinarian and who had an apprentice. And so on the first day of his apprenticeship, he followed the veterinarian to his first call, and there was a horse who had a lump in his throat. And so the veterinarian felt the lump and felt the horse and gauged the situation, and he took out a little surgical mallet, like a hammer, only a mallet. And he felt the horse's throat and felt the lump, and then he just, with one stroke of the mallet, and the lump dissolved. So it was really a good shot. It was a good diagnosis, good treatment. So the foolish apprentice, unfortunately, this is the first call. And so he just saw what the veterinarian did. So he thought, oh, this is easy. That's all I need to know. So you can imagine what happened. So he goes off on his own, the apprentice, as a putative so-called veterinarian, and he goes around whacking animals and killing them big time, wholesale. And so the veterinarian hears about this, and he says, what are you doing? He finds the guy, what are you doing? So I saw what you did, so I just did what you did. I followed in your footsteps. No, this horse had a little tiny watermelon in his throat, and so I felt it, and I knew just how hard to hit it, so not to hurt him, but to get rid of it. So imitating in the bad sense. Prabhupada also said imitation of a good thing is not bad. Actually, it's good. Just like when a child imitates its parents, you know, doing RT or something. But bad kind of imitation is when we presume qualification we do not have, and we try to imitate that way, and it's just wreaks havoc. Yeah. So that's bad imitation. Okay. What else? I'm going to make this short, this class, I think. We'll see. Okay. So it's also interesting that Prabhupada, in this purport, you know, Rishabhdev's stool and urine, they're obviously beyond everything, they're beyond what we know. He takes the opportunity of this description to glorify the cow. And Prabhupada would do that. He would just pick up on one detail and he would just go right for a pillar of Krishna culture. Krishna culture is based on cow protection. It's about cow protection. It's Brahminical culture and cow protection. There are two things. Those are the two nodes of Varnashram. From the cow, when you think of cow, the benefit of the cow, what do you think of? Milk, right? But that people who really know cows, they know that's just the icing on the cake. That's just the obvious thing. But even the dung of the cow is so valuable. Fertilizes the land, you can power, you know, gober gas, you can methane plants, and you can cook with it, and you can purify your home with it. And I was just in the Bhakti Center in Manhattan, a very nice fired up center behind 26 Second Avenue. There's 26 Second Avenue, and then behind it on 25 First Avenue is the Bhakti Center. And it's run by some very fired up brahmacharis. And I gave a little sample of the Founder Acharya seminar, and then I had to leave, unfortunately. But following me coming in, they were opening up their new temple room, and Radhanath Swami was coming in for a big festival to inaugurate the new temple room on a different floor of the center. It's a big, it's one of these narrow buildings in New York, because the real estate's all up in the air in New York. And so I looked in the new room. They were just finishing it, and I saw the walls, and they looked, you know, the pattern on the walls looked like, you know, cow dung patterns. And so I said, Prabhu, what is this? And I even went, smells like cow dung. So what are you doing here? This is not code in New York City. I know you can't do this. So, Jai, Sisi Radha Gopinath. Ki Jai. So he said, the devotee said, yes, Radhanath Swami insisted that we redo. When we do the walls of this new temple room, we use cow dung. But I don't know if Maharaj knew or somebody else figured out how to do it. So they mix the cow dung with some synthetic, some material that preserves it. So it's code, you know, it's okay. But it creates such a wonderful atmosphere in the temple. Because, you know, if you have cow dung in your house and there's so many bad effects, you know, radiation and so many other things that just don't want to get near cow dung that are, you know, negative in human experience. So Prabhupada takes this out. And Gomutra. You know, for years I avoided this common kind of tonic that they use in India just as a matter of course. I was visiting Tirupati. It means cow urine. Gomutra therapy. So I accepted it theoretically, but, you know, my Western mind couldn't, you know, countenance tippling cow pee. So I just avoided it. But a couple of years ago, I was having trouble with my health, and January in Mayapur's tough. January is the cold month, and there's no heat there, you know, so you're just kind of, it's like Radhadesh, but all year round. And here you have heat. I mean, you got good insulated houses. And, you know. But in Mayapur, you just have to keep layering it, you know, inside. So I was having a hard time with my health in January. So I finally went over to the Goshala, you know, where they sell Gomutra. And I started reading the bottle. And I was sold, you know. It helps digestion. It helps respiratory. It was so many benefits. So, okay, I'll do it. So I buy the Gomutra, and this one devotee, he works with cows, children, and he's an astrologer. He's a Spanish Brahmacharya, you know, Deva Rishi over there. He's he's pretty close to an avadut, I would say, an authentic ISKCON avadut. And he built his own house, or a hut with cow dung, and he redoes the floor every month. And he's a fabulous person, non-envious, totally non-envious person. So he gave me this secret. He said, "Sureshwar, you just take this first thing in the morning, and you just chase it with a little water, you know. And then in the evening, when your stomach is empty, before your little snack, I know you take a snack. I know you go to the maha counter, and I know you take cow's milk, which is nice. But just before you do that, then just take it on your empty stomach, and you won't have any problems." So I tried it, and it worked, and now I'm hooked. And usually when I'm back in the West, I'm taking supplements and, you know, herbs. But when I go to India now, I just take gomutra, cow pee, cow urine. And then we have milk, gorasa, not the store milk. That's the milk that kills you, frankly. It, you know, when they homogenize it for shelf life, for money, that's all it is about. They change the molecular structure, and that's why people are allergic to milk, and that's why we have vegans, and that's why we have all this culture of no milk, because what they do to the milk is terrible. They make it like some mutated version of milk. So you have store milk, you know, and then you see next to it lactaid, at least in America. If you can't drink milk, drink our lactaid. So, but milk as it is wonderful. It is the miracle food. It's full of, Papa would say, vitamins and minerals. And okay, I'm going to end this with a practical application, another gift of cow dung, which is an unusual gift. And I experienced it in Vrindavan in 1987 as I was circumambulating Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Vardhana. The place where the cow consciousness, the cow protection, the cow happiness is increased. Vardhana. Ananda Vardhana Premaniketana Vardhana Govardhan Hill. So it was Ras Purnim, actually. It was the end. It was the end of the milk fast. And it was we started in the early evening. It was myself, two swamis, and a brahmachari. And I was the caboose. I was the last person on the trail. But this swami was a local swami. He was very hardcore. He said, "All right, there are four rules for circumambulating Govardhan. No, we're going to walk very fast. There's no running, though. You always have to have 2 feet. Like in race walking, you know, in the Olympics. In fact, I wrote a piece about this, what happened to me. I'm going to tell you what happened. For Back to Godhead, I started it with, it was in 1992 at the Olympics, some Spanish person won the Olympic race walking. You know, they were pumping like this. So anyway, we were going really fast. But he said, no running, no spitting, no talking, and don't look back. So he was leading us, and there was the next swami behind him, then there was a brahmachari, and there was me. I was the end. And this swami walked so fast. You know, we took the 22 kilometer. We didn't do the short form. We did the whole thing. And he was walking like a bullet, just choo. Now, I had just come from Gita Nagari in Pennsylvania, in America. And you know how it is, when Westerners come to India, we wear socks a lot in America, in the West, right? So you go to India and it's all about bare feet. You know, people are just barefoot a lot. And so quickly, not quickly, but about halfway around the hill, I noticed that my feet were getting chewed up big time. I mean, they were getting big blisters, and there was even a cut, and it was bleeding. And I was getting hobbled. I couldn't keep up, because we were walking, and we'd pass people, and then they would laugh, you know, they look at us like we were going like a bullet, you know, and they were just laughing, Radhi, Radhi, ha. And so I started to fall behind. What am I going to do? I want to do this. This is part of the vrat. You know, we were doing a whole Karti thing, you know, following the Swami and doing all these vrats. So so about halfway around the hill, this Brijbasi, this very kind older gentleman, he saw me struggling with my feet. So he took his cane and he pointed at this pile of paddy, cow paddy. He started, you know, jabbering away in Bridge Hindi or something, Brijbasa, whatever they say. And finally I got it. He was telling me to step in the pile. And so I did. And it was so cooling, and it was very antiseptic, and it made a shoe on the bottom of my feet. Because I just really went in there, you know, and kind of gushed it all around. And it was just the right consistency, just the right texture. So I did. And then I caught up, and I was enlivened, you know, because I had my shoes now. I had my cow shoes. And it was feeling really good, you know, the cow dung. But then it would wear off, you know. So then I just look, and just at the right time, Krishna sent another paddy, you know, because Govardhan, it's full of cows, you know, it's cows all over. And so, 3.5 hours and 22 kilometers later, that's fast. You know, to walk 22 kilometers in 3.5 hours is pretty quick. Toward the end, we were coming into Radhakund, you know, toward the end. And we were, the last probably quarter mile, in an American, British measure, we started getting harassed by these, we would call them juvenile delinquents in America. Kind of tough characters, you know, tough teens. And they were taking incense sticks, and they were trying to, you know, scare us by putting them near our eyes like this. They were trying to, like, poke our eyes or scare us. You know, they were just trying to harass us. But they were Radhakund, you know, toughs. So they were chanting Radhe Radhe the whole time. Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. So it was remarkable. I said, wow, even the Gunda class here is so Krishna conscious. So finally we came in 3.5 hours later, and it was so sweet because it was the end of the milk fast. We broke the milk fast, and we just, you know, had hot milk for the first time in a month. And I was so happy when I got back to the West. That was probably the high point of my whole visit, you know. That parikram around Govardhan and having the cows save my feet. So I wrote a piece out. If you look in Back to God in 1992, it's called Of Gold and Nectar. It starts with this Spaniard winning the gold Olympics medal. It was just a hooker to get people into the walking piece. So, cow dung, cow urine, every part of the cow. You know, Prabhupada would say, let the cow die. You know, it just if you want to eat the cow, let it die. And then you can use the skin, and then you can use everything about the cow is so benign and beneficial. What do we say? Namo Brahmanya Devaya, go Brahmana. First the cow, then the Brahmins. Why is the cow mentioned first? Chris is the well-wisher of everyone, but especially Go Brahmana. Why is the cow mentioned first? Anybody know? That's right. And also she's dependent on humans. Prabhupada says we protect the cow first, even before you protect the Brahmins. You know, the five classes of people, there's the ladies, the children, the old men, the cows, and the Brahmins. Right? The cows first, because they're dependent on us. After all, they're just innocent. They are domestic animals. Not as the vegans say, that we should just let the cows run free. We were once going down Fifth Avenue, Rathayatra, New York City. We had come from Gitanagri with our two prize bulls, you know, really hard-working bulls. And we were leading the parade with an ox cart, and the kids were in the ox cart. And we were going down Fifth Avenue, and we were coming close to Lord and Taylor. This is a big clothier. And the outside Lord and Taylor on Fifth Avenue, there was a protest. It was the animal rights people, including vegans, protesting the Lord and Taylor selling fur. Right, that's a big thing. They don't sell them. Don't buy the mink coats. You don't know what they do to these poor minks and all this. So, and the point's well taken. But then it's insufficient, because what happened is they see us coming down the avenue, and they just turn. They do like a 90-degree thing, and they go like this: shame, 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 because we're using the bulls to pull the ox cart. They thought that was abuse. I mean, they know what abuse is for slaughter, but they don't know the proper use. By Chris's arrangement, there are certain creatures who are domestic animals, and they're meant to be employed in Krishna's service. And oxen love to pull. Just like a horse likes to run, an ox likes to pull and work out. You know, that's what they do. That's their dharma. They're draft animals. They're pulling animals. So, you know, we respect the vegans because at least they're practicing what they preach. You know, they don't take part in products of cruelty. They don't eat the products of cruelty. But it's insufficient. Krishna is not a vegan. Krishna likes cow milk and cow products. But I also take it that our vegan friends is the cowherd boys prodding us to, hey, how long are you going to keep drinking this blood milk? You know, how long are you going to keep invoking Yukta Vairagya, you know, while meanwhile so many protect the cow more, you know. So, okay, that's all I want to say. So let me read the verse again if you have any questions or comments. Because Lord Rishabhdev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him, but no bad aroma emanated from his stool and urine. Quite the contrary, his stool and urine were so aromatic that they filled 80 miles of the countryside with a pleasant fragrance. Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get Krishna conscious. Yeah, it needs to be boiled. Yeah, Sugadev Goswami did that. I think it's a safety precaution. I mean, I can't speak so scientifically about that, but maybe Vishwambar can. You had your hand up. Do you want to answer his concern? That's right, because at Kitanagari, as soon as we milked the cow, the milk would go right into this stainless steel holding tank, so it wouldn't be surrounded. But there's a cow lady here. The cows have more cow kata. Yes, Prabhu. Machines. Yeah.
Wow. And it's not a
Yes, because whenever you introduce rajagun, then there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. And you create anxiety in the cow. And that's going to, we step one inch outside Krishna's Daivavarnashram system, his culture, and we create havoc. That very thing which is so beneficial, it becomes like poison. See, that makes sense. Again, because it's all based on consciousness. Consciousness is primary. Matter grows on the platform of spirit. So if the consciousness, if the vibration of the consciousness lowers, then you're not going to get the same result. Very scientific. So we have to follow the supreme scientist, the most intelligent designer, the cowherd boy. And that's the way to go back home, back to Godhead. Anybody else? Of Golden Nectar, 1992 issue, I think. Or 91. I think it's 92. Freddie Prabhu. Well, what does Prabhupada say here? We can take it for granted. We can take it for granted that in the spiritual world, stool and urine are also pleasantly scented. Implicit in that sentence is a kind of... Whatever it is, it's not like this place. Like, maybe there's even snow in the spiritual world. But it's not unpleasant. See, this world, everything here comes from there, but here everything is reflected, so there's duality. Some of it's great and some of it's horrible, you know. Like there's even, we're going to talk about this in the seminar toward the end, yeah. Yeah, the last, tomorrow, in the Prayojana portion. How everything here comes from there. Like there's even, intrigue and dissension and envy, but it's not like ours. It's purified, it's Krishna-centered. And there's really no malice. If somebody's jealous in the spiritual world, it's jealousy without malice, with malice toward none. So we only realize these things as much as we become free from the negative qualities in the material world. Then we understand. It's hard. So theoretically, we should accept it. But then how to realize it? By following the process of Krishna consciousness. Wholeheartedly taking to Krishna's prescription for us. So, whatever it is, it's not like what we know. Yes? Oh yeah, yeah. It describes the lady, like there's no, the ladies, like we all in earth bodies, if we don't scrub them after a few hours, they stink, we become offensive. But one reason the heavenly planets are so intoxicating, that people give off this perfume, and all the intoxicants, they don't debilitate your body like beer. Prabhupada said beer is the drink of the demons, And it's soma, it just invigorates the senses. It gives you more illusion that you're going to enjoy here. So, what to speak of the spiritual world? Where all speech is song, every step a dance, and the flute is the favorite attendant. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.